Oh, in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for Wednesday here on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. This is going to be a good one today, guys, so strap it in. Here we go. Coming up in 20 minutes, Jim Donaldson from the Providence Journal. We're going to talk about some defensive issues with this team. And I think that one thing we'll discover is that the problems that this New England Patriots team has may be systemic. There may be something that just isn't going to go away anytime soon, and this may be how we just have to learn to live and how we have to learn to exist. And, you know, anyway, we're going to discuss that because I know that the matter of defense has been on so many people's minds, so many fans' minds over the course of the last few weeks since the season really got started. And Jimbo wrote a piece on in the Providence Journal almost 2 weeks ago now that really struck a chord with me, and so we're going to kind of follow up to that today. And then, of course, we will, you know, begin in earnest our look at the Dallas Cowboys. And in our second hour of the program today, Brad Sham, the radio, longtime radio voice of the Dallas Cowboys, will join us. In fact, I believe beyond Merrill Reese and our own Gil Santos, Brad is third in the league in longevity with an NFL team in terms of his number of years covering, you know,
it's a pretty NFL team.
He's
pretty recognizable name.
He's right up there.
If you follow this league.
Brad has been around for a long time. So Brad was doing, actually, as a kid, when I was a younger man growing up, Brad was the analyst. He was the analyst on the Cowboys Radio Network when Vern Lundquist was doing the radio play-by-play for the Cowboys.
I didn't know Vern did play-by-play for them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? That's how he got his TV?
Vern is my sole inspiration, but let's just say he is a major influence in my career because
Vern
was the sports director, weeknight anchor at WFAA Channel 8 in Dallas.
Oh, really?
And he was doubling on the weekends as the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm like, oh, my God,
that's
is
perfect.
There a better job in the universe than what Vern Lundquist had?
And by the time you got to, you know, your when you graduated from Texas, he was already doing TV. National TV.
He was already doing national TV, but then he started to migrate full time into national TV. And when he migrated full time into national TV and the CBS and other things that he was doing, that's when the cowboy thing went away, and he just decided to move on and do other things. Which, of course, he stayed with for a very long time, as many of you know him as a CBS announcer. No, he was very much a local guy. He was one of the best local sportscasters ever, as far as I'm concerned.
Is he a Texas native,
Vern? I think so. I think he was born there. I know he went to school at Texas Lutheran, which is a small private school, and then. He grew up mostly in Texas.
I'm trying
to remember if he was actually born there.
I never would have detected a Texas drawl from him.
What, like you can detect from me?
Yes. No, I never would have guessed that that's where he was from originally.
Yep.
He doesn't seem to have that.
He was the
local accent.
Number of years. So. Anyway, Brad, who has since that point in time moved on into the play-by-play role, except for 1-2 years, I think, when there were some issues right when Jerry Jones took over the team and they kind of flipped the radio contract around, and he was gone for a couple of years, and then Brad has been back ever since. Gil knows that story very well because it happened.
Same thing with him, right?
It happened to him, when programming rights change hands.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to me when I lost Boston College football. You know, programming rights change, and that's just the way it works in this business. So
people want to change the furniture and the curtains. Curtains in the office.
For the sake of changing the front,
because they can.
Because they can. It's exactly right, because they can. So anyway, Brad's going to join us. We're going to look at this Cowboy team that the more I've looked at over the last 24 hours or so, Eric, the more they do concern me. I mean, I think we're going to find ourselves, I think, just about every stage every week of the season, we're going to look at the opponent, no matter who it is, just because of the way it is in the NFL nowadays, and say, oh gosh, this team can do this or this team can do that. And there are going to be issues that concern you. Question is whether or not the Patriots are in current shape to be able to overcome these issues. Now, I would tell you that I think the Cowboys do have a little bit of an advantage here because they're coming off of an off week. They've had a chance to, you know, heal up some of the walking wounded. The Cowboys are going to bring into the situation, I think, maybe the best offense that the Patriots defense sees all year. Am I stretching it too much?
Well, I'm trying to think who else is left on the schedule.
Who's on the schedule?
I mean, you've got Pittsburgh, which categorize them as that. Philly, not the way they're playing.
Not the way they're playing.
Indy, not without Manning.
Nope.
Giants? Certainly not Denver. The Giants, no. Nope.
Washington?
No.
Buffalo?
Maybe.
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 Depending on
if they can keep this going.
Right. I would say, that's why I'm saying, Dallas, you put it out there. I mean,
they've got to be the
best offense, really, that may be left on the schedule.
Or unless they end up playing the Packers in the Super Bowl.
There you go. That would be right.
Mm.
I would totally concur with that. So, you know, the one thing that I keep coming back to, and this is sort of the Cowboy fan in me, because as you know, I grew up a Cowboy fan.
Oh, yeah.
Being
from Fort Worth?
That's exactly right. I keep thinking, though, that the Cowboys will find a way to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, you know, I can't make heads or tails of this team because they're 2-2, but I think they could easily be 4-0. Or just as easily 0-4, based on the way they've played so far. I don't know whether or not they're a good team that's had some bad luck or a bad team that's had some good luck. I just really don't know because Romo has been a big part of their mistakes, obviously, and the reason why they've dropped significant leads in the fourth quarter and second half of games. But I think it's a little unfair to put all the blame on him because obviously there's a defense that's giving up these points as well to these opponents that they've had big leads on to start the game. So I don't know what to make of them, John, honestly. I know they have talent. You know, Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Sean Lee on the other side of the ball, DeMarcus Ware.
Lee concerns me, and that's one of the issues I know that we'll get into, and I wanted to ask Brad about a little bit later on the program. But, you know, here's a guy that, you know, seems to be pretty good afoot. Good tackler, good cover guy. Mm. If there's a guy out there in the NFL defensively that could stick or could do a job against the Patriots' now vaunted two tight end attack, this potentially could be a guy.
But it can only cover one tight end at a time.
Well, that's why having both tight ends back is certainly huge. I thought it was a huge factor in the Jets game this last weekend.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a huge factor this weekend.
Obviously was because they were... I mean, from the get-go, they were sending Hernandez on fly routes with a bad knee.
This is where you realize the Patriots have done what they've done because they literally force teams to match up and teams can't match up. The Patriots are putting a mismatch out on the field for opposing defenses when they put Gronk or Hernandez out there together. So without one or the other, the Patriots merely become mortal. I think that's part of my point. I really believe that. Now, mortal to the extent that they do have all pros at a couple of positions, least of which is Tom Brady. Potentially also a guy like Gronk, too. But fact is that when you add Hernandez into the mix, you become unguardable. And it's because you become now a defense that has to choose your poison. How do you want the Patriots to slice and dice?
Yeah, because obviously if you take care of the tight ends by doubling them, Wes is going to have 150 yards.
Wes is going to kill you. So that's why the Patriots really have the advantage that they have right now over opposing teams because they have simply stacked the deck. They have created mismatches that teams
now... It's fun to watch.
Yes, it is fun to watch. And give as much as, you know, I know some fans like to hammer on Coach Belichick and the powers that be in terms of the decision-making here. Player personnel, if you will, you know, for some of the draft foibles
of the middle part of the decade,
and admittedly, we've had them. Yes, 09 and 10 have certainly been better, at least the points to sign they've been better, but let's face it, there were some problems there, but you have to give them credit now for creating this mismatch the teams are having to strictly game plan. I guarantee you there isn't a defensive coordinator or a head coach in the league that has the Patriots on the schedule that are licking their chops right now. They're like going, oh my God, how do we do this? How do we do this? Literally, how do we, I mean, who do we want to kill us is basically what you're choosing your method of death. And that's really what faced Rex Ryan last week and is going to face his brother Rob this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Rob, you think Rob and Rex will be sharing any secrets?
Maybe a little bit. But don't forget, Rob used to be employed here.
That's exactly right. Which
Rob
I
worked
think,
for this coaching
which,
staff.
Which he was linebacker's coach here, so that's why.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yes. So that's why that adds to the intrigue of how Dallas might be able to figure out a way to at least slow down. See, I'm of the opinion that, you know, obviously Buffalo was able to beat the Patriots because Tom and the Patriots shot themselves in the foot. Tom was just off, threw four picks. I'm not so sure it was so much what Buffalo showed him as Tom just had a bad day.
Right.
I'd really want to go back and look at the film again and examine it. And I get the impression, because the two of them, I believe, were tipped, that it was just a bad day.
Yeah, at least one was. I believe the...
I think one was
the
tipped
Drayton
at the line.
Florence one was, I believe, tipped.
Okay.
And then he scored on that.
Right. So, at any rate...
The one that was intended for Gronk in the end zone was just a
blunder throw. And if just one of those...
Different game.
It's a different
game. Different game,
and they most likely win it. So that's how close you were in that one. So you really have to hope.
Danny Woodhead was also
yes,
not really tipped, but he
bobbled and he kept the ball alive.
Right.
And yes. So, you know, you have to hope that, number one, there's an off day in there somewhere. Number two, you have to force the Patriots to go one way and then hopes that in the hope that your defense can game plan toward that. So let's say, all right, mission one, like the Patriots this last week, they wanted to take out Dustin Keller, and I thought they did a pretty effective job.
One catch.
Right. Okay, so if you're Dallas, I don't think you're taking out Wes. I don't think anybody's taking out Wes. I think the Jets tried to do that to an extent this week. I don't think it worked very well.
No, 120, whatever
I don't think you're going to be able to do that. So here's what I'm thinking, that because you have a guy like Lee, who seems to be able to be an adept linebacker, that sort of thing, got enough speed, quickness, versatility, be able to hang with these guys, maybe you figure out a way to double up on the other one, and then you force West to beat you underneath.
Okay, but let me just add this to the mix. They've been running the ball pretty well the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's a huge benefit for the Patriots.
So if you go into nickel and dime packages, like the Jets did most of the day,
you're going to get gouged.
You're going to have mismatches because they're putting an extra tight end, an extra blocker.
Which is going to, then, if you decide you want to play that way and you feel like that's your best way to win the game, then you must be hitting on all cylinders on offense. You cannot waste opportunities. And this Cowboy offense, Eric, is capable of doing that.
Right. And against this defense, you're right. They could have a day where everything just goes well, and both teams are scoring 40 points.
And herein lies the conundrum that I've been in for the last 24 hours or so. As I start looking at this, I'm like thinking, wow, I think Dallas has as good a shot as anybody on this schedule, left on the schedule, to beat the Patriots. Just because of the personnel matchups, because of the mindset, because of the physical play, because of the talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys can win a 38-35 shootout, which is how you're going to have to basically beat the Patriots.
Hmm.
You're going to have to score 30-plus, and you're going to have to hope that you have the ball one more time than the Patriots do.
Now, the Cowboys have shown that they can get leads on teams. They just haven't been able
to hold them, which certainly is in the Patriots' favor if they get down early.
So my question is, if the Patriots go up early like they did against Buffalo, go up 21 points,
mm-hmm,
can the Cowboys now afford to just go one-dimensional and just throw against this team?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, I guess, then, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you're picking a method of destruction here, or you're trying to go, all right, this is how we're going to game plan, then you have to figure out, all right, if things go poorly for us, how best can we jump back in the game, or how best can we stay in the game? So that's why I'm thinking, all right, you take, you know, your deep threats out. You take your, because I don't think there's a wide out that can beat you deep on this team. Although Welker damn near proved that, I guess, on Sunday, that first play of the second half.
Yeah.
Although he got caught from behind.
He did. But he also has a 99-yarder to his credit this year.
He does. But that also took a misplay, you know, from a defender for that to happen.
Still
happened. So I'm saying maybe that's what you do. Maybe you try to, you know, stay close to the vest here. If you're going to put somebody, you know, double on somebody, you know, doubling on West may or may not help you because then the tight ends are going to kill you. So maybe you take your chances by shutting down the tight ends, which you know that's Brady's binky. That's where he wants to go. Take your chances that, you know, Wes is going to get his 7 and 120 or whatever, and then hopefully your offense can kind of keep up. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Now, on the flip side, of course, we're talking about how, you know, the Patriots' defense, while they made some strides, I think, this last week, certainly 7 3-and-outs out of the 12 possessions is huge, and that's been well documented since then. But we're getting back to a fundamental issue with the Patriots' defense, and this is kind of where I wanted to go with this today. Jim Donaldson, longtime columnist for the Providence Journal, and certainly covered the New England Patriots since, how many years have you been covering the Pats, Jimbo?
1979, Johnny.
Thought so. Thought so. Long time. By the way, I'm glad you're in better health, bud.
Thank you. Having an appendicitis attack at my age is supposed to get it over with when you're younger, but
you didn't
none the worse for wear.
Yeah, no kidding. Yikes. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. You know, and the story that you wrote, I guess it was about, it was almost 2 weeks ago, a little over a week ago, which I thought it hit a chord with me and why we wanted to discuss it, because quite frankly, I think there are some issues here, that have been going on for a few years. And this is some of the stuff that you kind of went around about that I hope you'd sort of extrapolate for us here. But fact remains is that while they took some steps and they looked a little bit better this last week in certain areas, I think that there are some fundamental flaws in the way New England is playing on that side of the football. And I wonder if it doesn't start at the top with Bill Belichick, and I wonder if you would kind of like interject from here.
Well, if you want to go back as far as, at least the 06 championship game out in Indianapolis.
Right.
All the important games that the Patriots have lost have essentially come down to an inability to stop people when it mattered most.
Correct.
Patriots were up 21-3, I believe it was, in that 06 championship game, the 18-point margin being the largest the team has ever blown in a conference championship game. They took the lead several more times and ended up losing when Peyton Manning took the Colts 80 yards. Obviously, in the near-perfect 07 season, Brady engineers a tremendous late-game drive that gives New England the lead with 2 minutes and a few seconds to go. They stuffed the Giants back at their own 17, needing a touchdown to win the thing, and the Giants, granted, required a semi-miracle catch, but nonetheless, the Giants come up and, you know, go the length of the field to score. You look at the last couple of playoff games with the Jets putting up the points they did a year ago, as well as bothering Tom Brady, but essentially give up that many points to the Jets, a little bit surprising, particularly in view of what we saw on Sunday. Obviously, the Ravens come in and run roughshod over them in the playoffs. Virtually any important game that the Patriots have lost has been, to my mind, due to defensive shortcomings. Now, you know, let's leave no question here. Bill Belichick is a Hall of Fame coach. In that regard, I'm sure when the time comes, there will be some rumblings about Spygate and this, that, and the other thing, and he may not be a first ballot guy because of that. But it's hard for me to imagine Belichick not deservedly getting his spot in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
For a guy who's built his reputation on defense, there have certainly been some defensive flaws over the years, and as we've seen this year, hardly overpowering defensively. There are some questions in the secondary. The pass rush hasn't been particularly good. Now you take Mayo out of that linebacker, inside linebacker position, and you've got some real questions. And while it was encouraging to see what they did against the Jets, I think the Cowboys, with 2 weeks to prepare and some people coming back off injuries, will be a much better test. We shall see. Clearly they, you know, are not what they were defensively. And for somebody who's covered the league as long as I have, John, you know, the game has changed. The old defense wins championships, offense sells tickets. Analogy is still true to an extent, but it has become, as I like to call it, the National Fantasy League.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm about fantasy football. I mean, the NFL is a very shrewd market. They know that people want to see points on the board. They'd rather see 35-31 than 10-7 or 14-10. And so the rules have been geared to, protect the quarterback, and the premier quarterbacks are the keys, and you put up a lot of points, and that's how you win. And certainly the Patriots have an advantage in that regard because they have the best quarterback in the business. But at some point, you've got to stop people, and if you can't do it, as the Pats have shown in recent playoff years, then that's how you get beat.
Jim, is there a defense out there right now that you would say is for lack of a better phrase, a championship caliber defense? Is it Baltimore? Is it somebody else? What have you seen?
I was going to say Baltimore. You know, from what I've seen so far, I would say Baltimore is the closest. You know, everybody has flaws. I mean, there's certainly no resemblance to. You know, I go back to the '85 Bears. The '85, '86 Bears is the most dominant defense I've ever seen
right.
in all my years of covering football. I did see the steel curtain, the kind of at the end of their run with Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Mean Joe Green, Donnie Shell, Mel Blount. I mean, that was an all-world defense, certainly.
Sure.
Nobody approaching that caliber. Nobody approaching the dominance of the '85 Bears. I think the Ravens are close. You know, you see the Patriots as often as I do. You look at them, and there's not a lot of confidence that in crunch time they can stop. You know, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees, arguably the Phil Rivers, although they certainly, you know, decisively beat the Chargers when they played in Foxborough. I think that's the weakness. The concern is not, you don't walk out there saying, gee, can Tom Brady put up points? I mean, you know they're going to score. They're going to find ways to score. You can have an aberration, and I consider an aberration such as they had in Buffalo, but for the most part, you look at this team offensively and, you know, you could pick spots where you'd say, gee, it would be nice to have a genuine deep threat as Randy Moss was a couple of years ago. But I'd have certainly don't worry that the Pats aren't going to put up points. Look, we're up to 30 points in a row now, 13 straight games. I mean, that's talk about consistency at a high level. That's pretty darn impressive.
Jim, I wanted to ask you, in 2006, after the 2006 season, the consensus was, boy, this team has no wide receivers. Tom Brady needs help. You know, they had gotten rid of Deion Branch
Absolutely.
At that point. And Bill went out that offseason, got a bunch of wide receivers, and you know the rest. They almost went 19-0.
Most specifically, Eric, the deep threat in Randy Moss. I mean, that was
right.
the real issue in 06.
Right.
There was nobody who could stretch a defense and open things up for Brady underneath.
Right. So after the 09 season, the consensus was, well, you know what? They really need some tight end play in this offense. They really need to upgrade the tight end position. So they go out and get two really good ones in the draft, and they work out beautifully. Perfect.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you made the point earlier that Belichick has made his bones as a defensive coach. Now, why, I'm wondering, hasn't he listened to the consensus over the last few years about his defense and done things earlier to address his outside linebackers, his
defensive ends,
even his safety position in some respects. It boggles my mind that when he has listened to the consensus on offense and done the things that people have said he needed to do, they've worked out beautifully. But on defense, when there has been that same consensus, he's been reluctant to go after the big name players. Why do you think that is?
Well, in terms of the draft, and I'll defend him here. I mean, you know, Will Fork was a first round pick. Mayo was a first round pick. McCourty, while he seems to have slumped off a little bit so far, I have no reason to doubt that McCourty won't continue to be a good player for hope he stays healthy years to come. I know I'm forgetting somebody else as a high pick. I mean, Chung is a two. It's not as if they haven't picked up players defensively. When it comes to linemen, you know, I did 30-some years of covering the National Football League. There are never enough big, fast defensive linemen.
Right.
To digress here slightly, you look at the Lions with Ndamukong Suh and now with Fairley being added from Auburn. What little I saw of Auburn, I did watch a couple of games last year. He was a guy who, when he looked motivated and ready to go, was really a force. And if he decides he's going to get with the program in Detroit, they are scary. No, those guys are few and far between, and you better be picking in the top 1, 2, 3, or 4 in general to get that caliber player. So with that sense, given the success the Patriots have had, it's hardly surprising that there isn't a dominant pass rusher up front. The only way you could acquire one, I suppose, would be to pick up a guy down the road, older, and pay him big money, and that's a risky proposition.
So you think it's as simple as that those players on defense, those specialized players, are so much more difficult to find than, say, a couple of good tight ends or a few veteran wide receivers or, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Exhibit A being a guy like Hernandez, you know, there were reasons he dropped in the draft, but he's a pretty darn good player for a guy you pick up in the fourth round. You know, that you're not going to find a defensive lineman who's going to be a flat-out pass rusher. You know, when you look back and let's look from the other side. If you're defending Tom Brady, and If you don't get to him, I maintain you have no chance. You have to put pressure on him. If you don't, he's going to beat you. And now, if you gamble to try to get pressure on him, it may open you up to even more dangers, which in the great scheme of things is why he's put up 30 points 13 games in a row. But there aren't many quarterbacks in his caliber, so I would like to see the Patriots get more pressure. Kind of stating the obvious here. If you've got great corners, you know, if you had certainly Revis like the Jets do, and for all his faults, Cromartie athletically is still pretty darn good, you know, that enables Ryan to do some things with his blitzes that a lot of people can't do because you've got cover corners. I don't think, particularly with McCourty having slacked off a little bit, the Patriots certainly aren't in that position where they can just send guys from all over the place and rely on coverage. They just don't have the personnel.
Right.
That's not going to change this year. Realistically, they're going to go as far as Tom Brady and the offense can take them, and you hope that in situations they can come up with key stops. And in that sense, I think it'll be interesting to see how they do with Dallas on Sunday. Dallas certainly has a lot of offensive weapons. Tony Romo can look very good. He also can look very bad and, frankly, very stupid. But
yeah.
with 2 weeks to prepare, it'll be an interesting test after what was encouraging against the Jets to see how the defense plays this week.
Jim, we know that all things in life and in sports are cyclical. Do you see a time where the NFL might actually re-emphasize defense rather than the 35-31 type of thing that you were talking about earlier?
Not before I'm retired, Johnny.
Yeah. I happen to agree with you.
Yeah, we laugh about it, but that, yeah. I mean, that's what people want to see.
Right.
They like, I won't say that they don't appreciate a defensive battle once in a while. They can be exciting, and if you see a truly great defense, I think if you're a real football fan, it is fun to watch them. But in general, and I say this seriously, in part because of the explosion of fantasy football, people are fascinated by points. You know, you've got the Red Zone channel on television where every score is there.
Which is great.
Offense does indeed sell tickets. That's
yep.
what people want to see. You know, on the downside, and it has always been true, but more true than ever, you've got to have a top-flight quarterback, and he's got to be healthy. So we all understand the rules to protect him, and I think that's a good idea. But I do think it really separates the way the game is now, the haves and the have-nots. And probably the biggest example of that is the 300-yard passing game. I mean, there was a time where if you threw for 300 yards, you had a pretty darn good game.
You had a career day, yeah.
Now it's almost if you don't throw for 300, it's sort of like, well,
yeah, it's
what
a
was
bad
the
day, right?
Yeah, where'd you go wrong? How come you got issues?
Yeah, and it's I think the fantasy aspect that so many people are into that's what it's come down to. People just look at that as the barometer now. Your fantasy stats have become your real stats almost.
That's okay. It is the entertainment business, and ultimately, and you know, you can debate its kind of personal preference, what type of football you like. I mean, I'm not sure for somebody my age, you watch Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes go at each other every November, and it was always 7-6, 7-3, 10-7, 13-10, and you know, if it's 3rd-6, it doesn't matter. You run and punt and play defense. That had its merits at a certain level, but nobody's going to wants to watch the NFL do that. They want to see the points on the board, and why not? I mean, I think. When you watch last Sunday's game from an offensive standpoint, that was ideal. You've got the ability to run the ball effectively in the fourth quarter and run the clock down, and it was kind of fun to watch that Jarvis Green-Ellis and the offensive line operate the way they did. But we all know that the only reason they can do that is because you've got Tom Brady throwing the football. He's the best there is. I mean, at this stage of the game, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks that if I had to pick one guy to play one game, you could flip a coin between Tom and Joe Montana. I'd pick either one of those two. They're as great as I've ever seen.
I would tend to agree with that. Jimbo, thanks for the insight. I'm certainly glad you're better. We'll see you around the stadium, I guess, this next weekend.
All righty. Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
See you Sunday, Jim.
Appreciate it. Jim Donaldson from the Providence Journal, their 32-year columnist covering the NFL and New England Patriots. And so really, this just sort of brings it back full circle now to kind of some of the stuff you and I were talking about earlier this year, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Fact is that the National Football League is an offensive-based league.
Yeah.
It's been created because you, as a fan, have demanded it. This is what you like. So to complain, I'm gonna overgeneralize here, but I think you'll understand the point. To complain about the Patriots not being able to, you know, stop somebody or slow somebody down long enough really is sort of pointless because the Patriots defense as it consists in 2011 is a byproduct of the game of professional football right now. Where the emphasis,
for better or worse,
for better or for worse, the emphasis has been on offense, and that's exactly what the Patriots have done. They have played by the rules of the game, what the rules have allowed them to do, and what success in the NFL means. Patriots have done that. They followed that. And they figured out, okay, look, we've got a finite amount of money to spend. There's a finite amount of talent out there in which to go get. There's more offensive talent around than defensive talent. Let's build up our offensive talent. Let's get the monopoly over other teams. And this ties back into what I said before Jim joined us, where the Patriots have created offensive mismatches that make it a nightmare for an opposing defense to have to match up with. So the Patriots are on the, they're on the curve here, okay? They're above the curve. They're ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, can they get back to even, or can they join with the two or three teams that you say, well, they still got a pretty good defense in the league. Can they join the Baltimores and the Pittsburghs or the Green Bay's, although Green Bay statistically is not having all that great a year either. You got to look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie. Green Bay's given up a ton.
Mm-hmm.
They've got one of the worst pass defenses, just like the Patriots do yardage-wise right now. But you don't think of Green Bay as having a bad defense.
No, because you think of Clay Matthews.
Bingo.
You think of Charles Woodson.
You'd be happy to have that if they were in your uniform. Right?
No,
you're wearing
sure.
your colors.
Oh, sure.
You're happy.
Yeah.
All right. So the point here is that all you need to be, this is like it was, again, all things in life and in sports are cyclical. This is just like it was back in the 60s and 70s when defense ruled the day. And everybody had a good defense, and you hope that you had a premier wideout, or you hope that you had a premier running back, or you know you were banking on the fact that you had a stud at quarterback. And it's taken the National Football League 35, 40 years to completely flip itself over.
Mm.
Now, it'll probably take maybe that long again to go back. I don't know that we'll ever go back to the way it was, back to the old ground and pound, as you know, that sounds like such a novelty now that, you know, Rex and the Jets brought up ground and pound.
Yeah.
Hell, that's what football started out as when football was invented back in the 1800s.
Right, the forward pass was a major innovation.
It was, in fact, the forward pass was illegal. Go back and look it up. Okay?
Yeah.
I have done that. The forward pass was illegal. Mm. It took guys like Davey O'Brien and Slinging Sammy Baugh to really put the forward pass in the game. By the way, two former who? TCU Hornfrogs.
Yeah.
Both of them.
From Fort Worth. That's where TCU
is. That's correct. So there's TCU's influence on our game of football.
Wait, are you a TCU fan too? Or
I grew up 5 minutes from the campus. You
but
knew
you were
that
a Texas
about me.
I know, but you're a Texas
but
man.
But I went to Texas. Yes, because my whole family went to Texas.
Right. So
if TCU had had what I really wanted to study to the level that they now have it,
communications?
Had, 30 years ago, TCU would have been right there in the running. But they have since built up their journalism school and their communications department and yada yada.
All right, I just want to make sure that, you know, you're not dividing your loyalties here.
I will always have a small piece of my heart with the Frogs.
All right.
Okay? Always. Because it's the team that I grew up with, the campus that I grew up walking on. I mean,
it's
I
a
grew
nice
up
campus?
Yes. 5 minutes, literally. Mm-hmm. I grew up 5 minutes from the campus. Spent all my Saturdays watching very bad college football.
Because they were in the
Southwest Conference,
but
they were
right?
they were the, those were the
SMU. Didn't they play
yes,
SMU
every
so you
year?
Saw some good football
those were
there.
Those were the 1-10 Jim Schaffner days and F.A. Dry days, and you know where they really sucked. And I used to, you know, we used to get in free. I'd wear my here we go. Here's a good story for you. I'd wear my Boy Scout uniform to the game because we'd get in for free. And then as soon as we got in, run up to the upper deck, which has since been imploded because they're rebuilding it at Eamon Carter.
Yeah.
But go up to the upper deck because the seats on the 50-yard line were always open. So I would have 50-yard line seats for Texas, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, you know, all the big time, SMU, all the schools that were big time at the time playing in the Southwest Conference were right there on the 50-yard line.
See, I thought you were going to say you went upstairs to the bathrooms and changed out of your Boy Scout uniform. And
no,
put,
we
like,
couldn't
your
do that. We couldn't do that. So it was like, all right, you know what? Small price to play.
Yeah.
Small price to pay for getting in
admission.
To get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only game every year that ever got close to selling out was Texas.
Now,
A&M, a little bit less than that. But Texas was the only one that
I would imagine it had to be a little bit awkward when you went to a TCU game a couple of years ago and tried to put your Boy Scout uniform on to get in for free. Probably didn't work as well then.
I still have my scout uniform. I still have it. It's hanging in the attic of my house. It's still there. Still there. I was an eagle too, so don't laugh. Yeah, he's laughing now.
Not at the eagle. I'm just picturing you trying to get in for free again, wearing that uniform.
I could.
With your goatee and your salt and pepper hair.
Actually, here's the kind of shape I'm in. All right, I can wear that shirt.
Oh yeah,
I can wear it. Yeah.
Does that speak to more of the shape you were in back then or the shape you're in now?
A little both. All right, let's get a timeout in here. I promise. Well, us do-gooder Boy Scouts will go on to other things.
Always prepared, aren't you?
Always prepared inside the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
That's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
With Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, here in the opening hour of the playbook for Wednesday. Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, coming up in the second hour. You can also reach us via email, as always, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page. If you're not a friend on Facebook, find me. Search for me, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. And then if you'd like to become a friend, I would love for you to be my friend on Facebook.
Do you have on there?
1,200 and something, I don't know. You know, it's great, though. I mean, I don't really, I kind of feel like every time I look at the list, I'm kind of like, oh, this is like junior high all over again. See who my friends are. But, you know, actually, I think it's great because I get a chance to connect with, you know, Patriots fans as well as my own friends and my own family members and people that I have as business associates and all the different things that I do. And it, to me, it's a great little meeting place. And I'm glad that we're able to kind of convene, if you will, on the Facebook page during the show during the week. If you'd like to be a part of it that way, just, you know, search for me, submit the friend request. I'll accept it. And then you can message me. You can post a question on the show or a comment, or you can use the chat function, which is always easy to do. And I'm always up on the chat function on the Facebook page during the course of the show, and we're going back and forth. And in fact, I would prefer the chat function as opposed to multiple messages and posts on the page. But, hey, whatever it takes is fine. Now, by the way, our friend Brian here says, Vern Lundquist, you're talking about earlier, he was actually born in Duluth, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But he did attend high school, as I thought I remembered, in Texas. In fact, Austin High School in Austin, Texas, before attending Texas Lutheran. And he was born in Minnesota, but he spent his entire life basically in Texas.
Well, I was going to say, so when did he move? When did he move to Texas? Because
he would have been a teenager. Or a little before that.
Okay. So at that point, you've pretty much developed your mode of speech.
Anyway, thanks for Brian. I'm sure he probably Wikipedia'd that or something.
Well, whatever.
Googled it. But
as long as it's accurate.
It's accurate, right? There you go. All right. A couple of things that we were talking about that really, you know, and you and I were talking about it while we were away on the commercial break. This is the byproduct. Patriots defense is a byproduct of how they feel they can best be competitive during the course of any given season or any season right now. And it's sort of ironic, and this is what led to Jim Donaldson's article. Ironic that he's thought of as this guru defensively in the National Football League, and yet here's the Patriots considered one of their true dynamos on offense. And, you know, so is Bill Belichick really all that in terms of defense if, of course, he's such a defensive-minded coach, or at least we're led to believe, or we're told that he is? I don't think that, you know, just because the Patriots have, you know, set up, you know, pinball-type numbers on offense takes away from the fact that Bill Belichick is a defensive-minded coach. What it says here is that this is how the Patriots fundamentally as an organization have chosen to play the game, how they feel they can be not only effective now, but how they feel they can be most effective for at least the immediate term, and maybe even for the long term. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think that's how they have approached it. I just question why in certain cases. You know, why let a player like an Asante Samuel go when you know he's clearly one of the best in the game at his position?
Why
let a guy like him go and keep a guy like Logan Mankins? I'm not saying
why they did that.
I'm not saying they should.
They're more interested in offense right now as an organization.
Okay,
because that's the way the league is playing.
Okay, if we agree on that and we establish that as the reasons why. And again, I'm not saying they shouldn't have signed Logan Mankins. Don't get me wrong. I am in complete agreement with that.
You're going to have a big old guy running down the hallway here at you in a minute.
Yeah, I know. but my point is, if that's the way the league is going, and you already have at least some players in that position, I mentioned Samuel as just an obvious case, why not build up both sides of the football as equally as you can? Why? You know, you kept Will Fork, although they had to take, you know, kicking and screaming to sign him to a contract.
They did.
Almost.
They stretched that whole negotiation relationship,
and it almost got
max.
Ugly. It almost got as ugly as the Mankins situation.
It almost did. It seems like any time that they want to do something like that, they do stretch it to the max. My answer to that is that the Patriots have long been an organization that never shows their hand. They always keep the cards right up close to the chest. Right up close to the vest. They don't show anything. They play the cards that they only absolutely have to play. And they keep every option they possibly can in their hip pocket for as long as they can. And you and I were just talking about during the break, Eric. What do we do with Wes Welker? Because he's clearly the next guy. The Patriots have put their money right now on basically three players. Brady, Will Fork, Mankins. They're getting ready to have to make a decision on Welker. And everybody I know, and every fan I'm sure that's listening now is saying, pay the man. And I cannot argue with that.
Oh, and don't forget, relatively soon, Gerard Mayo.
Mayo is going to have to, he'll be one of those guys too that you're going to decide, do we pay him or not? Especially he's on the defensive side of the ball. Do we pay him or not? Welker, we all say, okay, pay the guy. Well, if we pay the guy, that's fine. But it's not, I don't believe, fundamentally in New England's game plan to just willingly part. Keep in mind, they did let go of Samuel, right? Who else have they let go of that they could have kept and didn't that really has come back to haunt them?
Defensively?
Especially defensively.
That's probably the one and only prime example. But your other argument could be, like, Wes wasn't a homegrown product. They went out and got Wes.
Yeah. That's true. They got tired of getting beat by him.
Right. Well, yeah. If you can't beat him.
Join him.
Yeah.
Or hire him.
Have him join you.
Yeah, right.
But my example I brought up to you during the break was Julius Peppers.
Why
not? They had a chance to go out and get a guy like him.
Exactly.
And why not?
Okay.
Put him with Vince Wilfork and keep Asante Samuel. Now you've got a defense that rivals some of the better ones in the league.
They could have done that had they, in my opinion, kept Richard Seymour a couple of years ago.
You know what? That's a great example. I don't know why I didn't even think of that. That's
Richard
really
Seymour is the one right now that you kind of let go that still seems to be producing at a relatively high level. So if you kept Seymour, or as you suggested, you go out and get a guy like Peppers, well, then haven't you kind of solved some of the problem? My answer to that would be yes, but. And the but has everything to do with the fundamental decision-making within the organization to spend their money on only a few key areas. And I just don't think, because the way the game has evolved, I just don't think that defense is where they're going to be willing to spend a load of their money. They've already spent money on Vince, because Vince is an anchor in every sense of the word, not only on the field, but in the locker room as well. And in the organization, because of all the charitable stuff that he does. So I think they felt like, all right, if we have to sink our money into somebody, here's a guy worth sinking it into. I don't know that anybody else defensively is that. I certainly don't believe they thought Julius Peppers was worth the millions that they were going to have to pay him. Rather, save that for a guy like Mankins, which I'm sure some of that went that direction. Or maybe a guy like Welker, who's going to have to be...
There's still loads under the cap, though, John.
Well, then why aren't we paying the guys?
That's my question.
Okay. We're all kind of asking that. Why aren't they paying?
And as
why aren't they going out and getting other defensive players that could help make this team dominant?
And, right.
Does it come now to the point where the Crafts are just tired of spending the money?
And as we've seen this year in particular, in the case of Indianapolis, when you put all your eggs in the offensive basket and you lose the guy who runs your offense, they're done. You can't compete at all. They can't even win a game.
Right. Which is another reason.
So you
why
run the
Patriots,
risk of becoming irrelevant.
Why the Patriots also need to be turning an eye toward the future, because you don't know how long you're going to have Brady left.
So I think that's why Ryan Mallett was drafted.
No question in my mind. No question in my mind. They see Ryan potentially as a Tom Brady of the future.
Of course, that's why I thought they drafted Kevin O'Connell a few years ago too. I was a big fan of his.
Yeah, but Mallett has got it.
I don't know.
No, Mallett's got it. I saw it at Arkansas. You could see this guy. He physically was a mismatch for teams. Did he take some stupid plays and, take some stupid chances? Yeah, most players do like that. Brady had the opportunity to grow and improve with his program, but his program was already at a stage where he could afford to let the program carry him. Ryan Mallett was Arkansas, and he's playing in the SEC, which is the preeminent, by far, league in the country. Mm. You could put LSU in the NFL right now, and they'd probably win some games. Alabama.
They'd be competitive.
They'd be competitive. Okay? Alabama, too. Let's throw Alabama in there, too. You could put them in there right now, and they could probably play against the Colts right now. Seriously. All right? So, to that extent, you've made some fundamental decisions. And that's all I'm kind of pointing out today. That this organization has made some fundamental decisions to evolve the game where they feel like they could be most not only effective on the field, but cost-effective in the pocketbook. There, I said it.
Value.
That's it. It's all about value. And anybody, and really, we've known this for a long time. It's just that nobody has really just verbalized it to the point. The Patriots always look for value. Why do you think they trade down so much in the draft? Why do you think fans get pissed off because, they're not holding on to the high draft picks. They're trading down. What's the deal with it? Because value is what the Patriots are after. And they feel like, especially in offense, because there are sheer numbers, and we just said this a few minutes ago, sheer numbers indicate the way that the game of football has progressed is that it's an offensive game. There are more talented offensive players than defensive players. So while it's a crapshoot, you're really rolling dice on defensive players. By the sheer numbers, you've got better chances of gaining offensive help. So how do we win? How do we put these odds on our side is what New England has said fundamentally. And this is why you're seeing defenses the way they are now. And this is why we're all bitching and moaning and nitpicking on the Patriots defense every week. When really we should be saying, well, we saw this coming. We just didn't really want to admit we were seeing it.
But it's surprising, though, when you have a guy the caliber of Vince Wilfork, of Gerard Mayo, of Devin McCourty, of even, I'll put Patrick Chung in there now since he's starting to develop, that they've had such problems this year on defense. Doesn't it strike you as... And then you add guys, you know, veterans like Andre Carter, Sean Ellis, and the like, and they're still having problems. Albert Haynesworth. Doesn't it surprise you that it's the defense that's having these problems? We thought they had addressed those problems.
Well, Joshua just sends his email. He says, stop with the revisionist history. He said the Patriots would not have been able to sign Wilfork, Brady, and Seymour to extensions at almost the same time. One had to go. Seymour was the right choice.
They're still under the cap by millions.
Well, that's my point exactly. Then that's where I'll back you up on that one. There apparently is room, but there has to be a willingness to spend the money.
Right.
And
cap room means nothing if you don't use it.
Exactly. There's cap room. It's here. Go sign the guys. Keep the guys that you have. They fundamentally don't want to do it because they don't think that this is the way to win in the modern day National Football League. That's it. That's it exactly. They just believe this is how you win football games now. You win with offense. You win in the pocket. You win in the pocketbook. You win in the stands. You win in the court of public perception. You win in selling memorabilia because your team's scoring 35 points a week. And guess what? Bonus, you win in games actually on Sunday. Win, 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 and win.
Unless you lose your quarterback.
There you go. Well, the Patriots got very lucky. Patriots got very lucky 3 years ago when they lost Tom Brady.
Yeah,
because Matt Cassel had the career that had the year of his life.
Yeah, and they should have been a playoff
line,
team.
Yeah, but the bottom line was, did they make the playoffs?
No.
Okay. So that's another reason why Ryan Mallett was taken. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they'll look hard to get that position again. Before all is said and done, because nobody knows how long much more you have Brady. Could the Patriots survive?
And was available.
Yeah. Right. It depends on the timing of it all. We don't know.
Yeah, if you have two first round picks again, and there's a guy like, I'll just throw Andrew Luck, but okay. Just let's say you have the ability to get,
to get Andrew Luck. Do you think the Patriots would pass?
No.
No.
God, no.
No. If they had a chance to take Andrew Luck, oh, please.
Which is almost where the Colts might be.
Well, the Colts would be stupid not to take him because they know that Peyton Manning's shelf life now is, let's put it this way, he's nearing his expiration date. Mm.
A lot sooner than maybe he thought
or
anybody else thought.
No question about it. So they've got to look to the future. you know, you need to be considering yourself as Patriots fans fortunate that Patriots aren't quite there yet, but they could be. So that's why all of the moves that this team is going to make from here on out are going to be with an eye toward the future. They've done a great job in maintaining competitiveness, but the question that we're having trouble with, and I think you as fans need to be concerned with, is when do you take competitiveness and then seize the day with that competitiveness and win a title? It's one thing to be competitive. It's an entirely different thing to win a title. And teams are remembered for championships. Nobody is going to remember 2007.
They'll remember it for the wrong reasons.
Remember it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunate.
Or for the banner that's out there for the perfect regular season.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Which is stupid.
Don't get me started on that.
I agree with you. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb. You didn't win anything.
No.
Banners are for championships. Banners are not for 16-0
right.
seasons. Okay? They're just not.
No.
But, okay, we don't run the team. We don't own the right. team. It's their business. Let them do what they want to do. But, this is the problem. This is the conundrum that I find myself in as a fan and as someone who covers the team. Okay, it's great to be competitive, and I'm appreciative of the fact that they remain competitive and they want to play the game and succeed at the game the way the game allows them to play. But when do you flip on the switch and say, okay, when do you become immortal? Titles are immortal. Titles people remember. They remember the years you win. They don't remember the years you go 14-2 and flame out against the Jets in the opening round of the playoffs like you did last year. That year's you want to forget, even though really you shouldn't because it was a good year. But because you failed miserably against the Jets in the playoffs, it's a year you want to forget.
Same with 09.
You failed miserably against Baltimore.
You
need to figure out a way to share a little bit more the equity, spread it over to the defensive side of the ball just a little bit. And maybe that makes guys like Nick Caserio and some of the other player personnel guys, maybe this makes them have to think about it a little bit more, thinking, all right, we're one piece of the puzzle away. So where is that piece of the puzzle that's going to turn us from contender to champion? That's really all this team needs is a very small piece to make it contender, which they are now, to champion, which they strive to be. At least we're told they strive to be.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before I let you go, how about a practice update today?
Some good and bad news. Which one do you want first?
Bad news.
Bad news. Obviously, Jerod Mayo remains out with his knee injury. We knew that. But joining him, sadly, Josh Barrett, safety, who was inactive versus the Jets, suffered a hamstring and was limited, practiced every day last week, but was limited each day and was inactive for the game. He was not out there today for the start, nor was Mike Wright.
Wow.
Now, I'm gonna reserve judgment, though, because he came back, I believe it was last Thursday, and then on Friday he practiced as well. So he had 2 days in a row and missed the Wednesday practice. Maybe they're trying to work him back slowly. He was inactive for the game, too, obviously. Maybe they're just trying to work him back slowly and get him 2 days of practice a week to start. So maybe
that would make sense.
So we'll see. We'll wait till tomorrow to before we jump off the deep end with that. So,
right.
But just the fact that he wasn't out there is noteworthy. The good news, though, Sebastian Vollmer back at practice.
Nice.
And the two ankle guys, Woodhead and Edelman, both back out there as well.
All right. That's a step in the right direction.
Yes.
Seems like the good outweighs the bad then today.
Pretty much. Yeah. Little bit more.
How are you with James Ahedebo's performances last week since he got the start?
I wasn't bowled over by it. I mean, I think he did. I don't think he did any better or worse than the player that was there before.
I don't think he hurt himself.
Yeah, I just don't think he did anything great.
Okay. That's fair.
Some people are saying, some people are being a little too optimistic, I think, with assessing his play. I saw a few plays that I really, missed tackles, over-pursuing. I don't know. I didn't think it was perfect. It was his first start ever, so we have to cut him a little bit of slack. But
Kevin was hammering on his boy yesterday. Totally hammering on him yesterday.
For that reason?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
You saw the same thing that I did then, yeah. So, but compared to what was already there, 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Okay.
I don't think he did anything that said, you can't play in this league, but he also didn't do anything to say, you deserve to be the starter when Josh Barrett's healthy.
Right.
I think you could throw either one of them out there or any combination of them. Might have done a little bit better than Sergio Brown. But aside from that, no, I wasn't overly impressed.
Okay. That's probably a fair assessment. Step in the right direction overall defensively. I really like the seven, you know, three and outs, which was, I thought, you know, that signals to me guys are now stepping up and making plays.
They shut down the guy that always kills them in Dustin Keller.
Right. Stepping up and making plays.
They didn't let Burris be a really much of a factor.
Nope, not at all.
Holmes had a couple of catches, but, you know, somebody's got somebody.
Him.
Yeah, nothing that was, you know, and Sanchez clearly didn't beat them.
No.
Revis, the experiment where he was on Welker most of the game.
Like 42, 45 plays, something like that?
Yeah, well, was it really? I believe it was that much.
Yeah.
And I think the percentage, I didn't look at the percentage, but I'd say it was well over 50% of the time he was...
West was targeted three times, he caught two when they were head up against each other.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
But just as far as when he was guarding him, I think he was at least half the time or more.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than half the time that that Revis was on him.
That's correct.
And didn't really seem to do much.
Nope.
Didn't really seem to do much. So.
Not at all. I thought it was great recognition by the Patriots to get to West whenever Revis wasn't on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to go off on Dion. It was great recognition. Give Brady the credit.
Yeah.
Give him the credit. Hey, Revis is over there. Good. Yeah. West, your ball. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a way to do it. That's what good quarterbacks do. Right?
Yep.
Any thoughts one way or the other yet about this game coming up? Are you still formulating?
I'm still formulating because, the toughest part is I like I said at the start, I don't know who these Cowboys are.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're a 4-0 or an 0-4 team.
Yeah.
Right now they're 2-2.
Right.
In actuality, but
which is probably
what really are they?
They could be 4-0 very easily.
You know, or 0-4.
Yeah.
I don't. So I'm not sure yet. They're coming off a bye, which maybe is good for them. You know, they've had more time to game plan.
It gives them a chance to heal too.
They've had more opportunity to get used to the to get familiar with the Patriots than the Patriots will have had to get used to them.
No doubt. Face a team as infrequently as you do, like the NFC East and the Cowboys, that's certainly going to benefit that, I think, the team that's been on the off week.
Yeah. I'm probably leaning towards picking New England, but I still have to come up with a final score and everything. But it's a tough one.
Cowboys offense does scare me. I do think that they'll ultimately shoot themselves in the foot because I think that's just their – I think that's who they are.
Yeah.
I just think that's who they are. They are a maligned team.
Mm.
You know, they're talented.
Star-crossed.
Star-crossed.
If you
will. That's a great one. They are star-crossed. Yes. Star-crossed. Very good.
I will leave you with that.
Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Eric Scalavino, PFW. All right, let's get a break in here. And then coming up in 15 minutes, Brad Sham, or 20 minutes or so. Brad Sham.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo. A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thanks, Nelly. Welcome back. Hour number two inside the playbook here for a Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. The Cowboys have changed their media availability schedule around this afternoon on us, which is on par for the course for a lot of NFL teams. Sometimes schedules change, which means then it might take Brad Sham away from us for at least a little bit. So we're monitoring that. We're scheduled to have him at about 3:30. And if he's available, we'll have him. If not, Kevin has already done his due diligence, and Brad will join us tomorrow. It just depends on, you know, when the Cowboys start their media availability, because as the voice of the Cowboys, you got to be there to listen to what the guys have to say, don't you? Got to prepare for your broadcast. So that's, you know, everything is in a state of flux around here, and that's the way it works. So anyway, we're efforting that. We'll get that up. In the meantime, this opens up an opportunity for you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398 is the phone number. And as always, webradio at patriots.com, the email address, and got the Facebook page up. We started on the Facebook page, in fact, just a short while ago. Chris had posted, you know, about Jim Donaldson, and wasn't sure that he was really understanding what Donaldson was saying, just because he mentioned the fact that, you know, Bill Belichick might not be a first ballot Hall of Famer because of Spygate and some other things, and there could be some writers that would keep him off the ballot because of that. All right. You have to understand that outside of New England, the perception still is out there that Belichick is a good football coach, but that he bent the rules to the point where he got punished for it. It doesn't matter whether or not he was interpreting the rules his own way or whatever. You want to call it cheating? Call it cheating. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar is what happened. And so outside, we understand why he did what he did, because he's all about winning and he's all about manipulating the rules and trying to turn it into his advantage, because you're always trying to get an advantage over the opposition. That's the name of the game in pro sports. It's the name of the game in any sport. It just didn't work out the way he wanted it to. We're willing to forgive around here more so than others are willing to forgive, because he's our guy. And so because of that, well, outside of our sphere of influence here, he may not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think you just have to understand that. And I think that's really all that he's pointing out. That's all that Jim's pointing out.
And, you know, the guy has covered pro football for well over 30 years, as have I. So, you know, I tend to give guys who have been around the game, you know, the benefit of the doubt. That's really kind of where we're headed with this. So you're willing to give guys who've been around the benefit of the doubt because they have some knowledge, they know where they've been, they've seen the game, they know where the game is going, they have an opportunity to perhaps expand on that a little bit. And this is one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to this gentleman this week, because I had the pleasure of meeting Brad Sham a number of years ago covering college basketball. And, you know, Brad, we remember we had the conversation at the time that I've been a lifelong Cowboy fan, and really what has happened with the Cowboys has been nothing short of fascinating over the years, the way that the personalities have been involved. And certainly now that the Cowboys bring in one of the more dynamic offenses in the league, well, who better to talk to about the Cowboys than the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham. Brad, it's John Rook here in Foxborough. How are you? It's great to talk to you.
I'm great, John. It's good to talk to you again.
Appreciate the time. I know you're running around like the proverbial chicken with your head cut off, so I appreciate that today.
You bet.
But first and foremost, where are the Cowboys right now at 2-2? Because they could very easily be 4-0, and then looking at it, they could be 0-4. Is that where they belong at 2-2 right now?
Yeah, well, you know, the coach that the franchises have in common, Bill Parcells, like to say, you are what your record says you are.
Right.
And I do think at this point, it's such early days. I think that's fair to say about them. They, 2 weeks ago when they played Detroit, the last time they played, the Lions, starting outside linebacker, was out of the game. It was the first starter game the Lions had lost. The Cowboys then in their fourth were missing eight. And
wow,
that didn't include Orlando Scandrick, who's their best slot corner, who had missed three. So I don't think the sample is big enough for the Cowboys to say where they are or who they are or what their identity is. There haven't been enough games. And there have really not been enough games with their complement of who they think are their players. But I would venture to say, John, that I don't think there's more than a half dozen teams in the league who really, really know who they are. Now, I think the Patriots kind of know who they are because of the skins on the wall, although I'm certain they would like to be playing defense all the time like they played it on Sunday against the Jets. But, you know, I think Green Bay knows who they are. New Orleans knows who they are. I think Detroit thinks they do. You know, I think Baltimore knows who they are. Unfortunately, Miami knows who they are. and after that, start naming me some teams who absolutely can tell you without question what their identity is. I think that's kind of the nature of the league now.
Yep.
And I thought coming into the year that the Cowboys had a chance to compete for a wild card spot, and I still think that. And in fact, it may be that they have a chance to compete for the division because their division seems to be backing up to them a little bit.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, especially in light of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, so we've seen how the Cowboys can be explosive on offense, and we were already talking today where we were looking at the Patriots' schedule anyway, where Dallas, to me, probably has the most dynamic offense the Patriots may see for the rest of the year. And considering that the defense in New England, while it was improved this last week, is still at a rather fragile stage because they're still missing a guy like Mayo at linebacker and such. Fact remains is that I think the Patriots defense will have its hands full. What about the Cowboys offense can the Cowboys count on every week to be consistently at a high level?
Well, I think that's an evolving situation. But right now, at this point in time, I think that my answer to that would be when they're healthy, they can make some dynamic plays.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback can make some dynamic plays, two wide receivers, the tight end, and the running back can make some dynamic plays. And that's when they're healthy. Now, if you take Miles Austin out of the equation, as he has been for the last 2 weeks, two games, then they're down to one dynamic player at wide receiver who doesn't always know where he's going. And sometimes he gets to where he is and everyone's surprised. And then maybe something happens. Now, if you put Austin back, then that's a little bit of a different factor. I think the reason I say I think it's evolving is, you know, this is an offensive line very much in flux, and don't so many of them seem to be. But they've changed the entire offensive line. They're starting two rookies and a second-year man who maybe played in one game last year, and they're getting better. They are evolving, and as they evolve, they're going to be able to have more success running the ball. But it would be folly to say that they're anywhere near that now, so I can't tell you that one thing they can do is they can just pound it and take the air out of the ball and try to, you know, make a big play on third down and keep Brady watching. I don't think that they can do that on a consistent basis right now. But I do think that they offensively, I think they have some dynamic players who, if everybody's executing right, they can make some plays.
How is Tony Romo's health, and for that matter, how is Myles Austin's health?
Well, they've actually just finished practicing. We had some bad weather up here this morning, and they flip-flopped their schedule, so they worked indoors at the stadium today. So I'm actually on my way to the locker room and the press conference to find out exactly, okay, to the extent they'll tell us how much Miles practiced. I do think that they're expecting Miles to play. You know, Romo's... Anybody listening who's ever had a fractured rib, and I'm delighted to say I never have.
Right.
He's not going to get it 100% better by getting beat up every week. But, you know, everybody plays with something, and he's playing well enough to function. The ribs have, it's sore, it bothers the heck out of him, but he's pretty tough, and it hasn't been a factor in why they've lost.
How much is that? Losing a 24-point lead to Detroit, how much can that stick, or how much will that stick with this team?
Well, I don't think it will unless they do it again. If they do it again, then I think that you would have some guys maybe looking up early in the third quarter and say, oh, no, we're in trouble. We're up by 24.
Yeah.
But this is it's a resilient team. Players, you know, are usually pretty smart. They know what they are. And they know what their team is. They can look around the locker room and see what they're capable of and know exactly how much everybody has to be playing at peak efficiency and pulling together to make that happen. And the really, really good teams know that like Green Bay, they know that if they do what I just described, they're going to win handily most weeks. And the most of the teams, and I think the Patriots are that. I think the Patriots know if they go out and they get a little help from their defense, and they execute on the offensive end, then it's going to take a remarkable effort by the other team to beat them. And most of the teams in the league, I think, you know, look at what they're doing every week and say, okay, this is who we are, this is what we have to do. But it's a fairly young team, and it's a very resilient bunch. And their head coach is really good about preaching the moment. Be the best you can in the moment. Their objective today was not to beat the Patriots. Their objective today was to have the best Wednesday practice and meetings they could have. And tomorrow it'll be to do that on Thursday. And the idea is to build all that up and have it pay off on Sunday. And because of the way that he kind of guides them and reminds them about the importance of the moment, sitting here after it just happened a week ago, I'm going to tell you that I don't think that's going to have a lingering effect. Now, that's why they're going to play the next 12 games.
Sure. One more for you, Brad. Defensively, it looks like there might be some familiarity, only because the Patriots are certainly familiar with Rob Ryan. Rob Ryan certainly familiar with the Patriots to an extent that, you know, he runs a 3-4 defense, which the Patriots ran here while he was a linebacker coach here. How can his influence help or even hurt in an instance like this when sides are kind of familiar with what each other have done in the past?
Yeah, I think the most fascinating aspect of this particular game is the fact that Cleveland had some success last year against the Patriots, and I don't know who would be better at trying to look at that tape and figure out how it happened and how it's not going to happen again than Coach Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots offensive staff. And then I think Rob and his staff are going to look at it and say, okay, well, this is what we did, and we know they're going to look at it and say, well, they did this, so we're going to do that. And so when we have to anticipate them doing that so we can do this, that to me is the most I wish I could buy a ticket to watch all that going on during the week. And then when it's all said and done, it comes down to who plays better on Sunday. But I think that's the most interesting part of this week's game.
There's no doubt about that. It's a huge chess match, and I think that certainly adds to the intrigue. Well, we wish that we had a chance to get together a little bit more often, but this is when the NFL tells us we get together. So we'll look forward to the Cowboys visiting here on Sunday.
I'm looking forward to being there, John. Great talking to you.
Brad, thank you very much for the time. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brad Sham, who's the, again, the longtime radio voice of the Dallas Cowboys. He's in between press conferences, as you heard him just say, and he decided, well, I've got 10 minutes to spend with you. I'll spend it with you, and greatly appreciated that. Good job out of you, Kev, for...
Stand-up guy right there.
Yeah, he's a very stand-up...
Being able to fit us in like that.
You know, they changed the schedule on him. He says, I don't have but this, but I'll give it to you, and he did that. So he did this for you, by the way, all right? You know, not just Kevin and myself. He did this for you because, you know, there's a lot of respect for the Patriots. There's a lot of respect for the Patriots fans throughout the NFL. They know... You know, most everybody that we talk to now, they know this is part of what we do. This is part of who the Patriots are. We have our own radio program. We have our own little network here. You know, this website here is hit upon as much as any website in the National Football League, more than most.
We can literally say millions of times every month it's hit.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable. And
so
we're just talking radio.
When we're talking radio hits in terms of millions, in between the live hits and the downloads and things like that, it's tremendous. And so we thank you for the interest, and this is how we're able to utilize this sort of sway with the folks that we talk to. So what did we learn? What did we learn about the Dallas Cowboys? Fact is that I think they're a little bit more disciplined than maybe either you or I realize they are. That, you know, for every, you know, boneheaded move that apparently Tony Romo seems to make, they make three or four really good ones. It just so happens that it really snowballed on them. And I watched that Lions game, okay? I watched it. And I was disbelieving, but at the same time I was like, ugh, typical Cowboys. So I think the Patriots, if they're able to get Dallas down, they cannot let up on the gas pedal. This is a mark of a championship team. We'll figure out if the Patriots are really, truly championship caliber. Because when you get your foot on the jugular, you've got to step on it. The Cowboys could not do that. That's keeping the Cowboys from being a championship caliber team, in my own estimation. They had the Lions down, and then they let off, and the Lions came back and beat them. Haven't really seen that yet from the Patriots, although you could make the argument that that happened against Buffalo. But I also think there were other factors involved in Buffalo, namely four picks by Tom Brady. One of them a pick six. And if you don't make that one mistake, you still win that football game. So that's how really close they were to being 5-0 as it now stands. And then you just kind of dismiss it because it was like, oh, an off game, and we still managed to win it. Well, Buffalo and other teams in the NFL are good enough now where you can't get away with playing poorly, really, and still winning. Just ask the Dallas Cowboys. Because that's exactly what happened to them, especially in the second half of that game against Detroit. And Detroit is the team that, well, everybody's talking about right now. And deservedly so. 5-0 for the first time since 1956, which is extraordinary. All right, let's talk to Eldridge, who's been on the phone for a while. Eldridge in Gastonia, North Carolina. Thanks for hanging in, Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What's up with you?
Well, I've listened to the broadcast, and I agree with you on a couple things.
Go.
Bill Belichick won't make the first round because of the way people feel. And he's a good coach, but I think he's a terrible GM by picking talent.
I can understand where people will understand that now based on, you know, drafts, I think, more toward the middle part of the last decade. But you also have to understand that, you know, he has also tried to include other opinions in that. And I think that there's a small and increasingly vocal faction now, Eldridge, of people that would say, well, look, you know, he had totalitarian rule here for a while. And then when you let the other guys get involved, like the Scott Pioli's and, you know, and some others that have come along since then, that's when things started to sort of like, you know, trickle down. So maybe we ought to go back to In Bill We Trust.
Well, I would agree with that to a certain extent, but as far as defensive picks and the picks he picked over a couple of years now,
mm-hmm.
Hernandez, Gronowski, Mayo, good picks. Okay. But as far as wide receiver-wise, Price haven't showed up. We could have got Santonio Holmes, what, a couple of years ago, or even Wallace.
They just didn't want to pay, the money.
No, I'm talking about draft them as rookies.
I see what you're saying. Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would help out the offense. On the defensive side, a couple people that comes to mind, look at Shields for Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He had different other cornerbacks and safeties that could have helped his team.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have kept Seymour, which is very dominant now, you know, very dominant now. And we have never recovered from that. Yeah, you went and got Haynesworth. You went and got Carter, Ellis. They haven't showed up yet. Carter showed up a little bit last week. You know, I got to give him that. But Headybone, Barrett was out.
Mm-hmm.
Them couple corners, we get burnt, man. If we got fast receivers, a good running back, and a good quarterback, you'll beat the Patriots and the defense. You'll beat them.
Well,
because they'll someone line will slow down. They'll keep going.
You had big physical receivers that had a fair amount of success for Buffalo against the Patriots.
Exactly. No corners. You know what I'm saying? To me, like, I used to coach junior high school in Little League, and we always teach cornerbacks stay in the hip pocket. And see, like me and our corners forget that.
Right.
You know, you backpedal.
Right.
Then you don't take the first fake, you look in the middle. So, like, our cornerbacks don't do that. You know, they're always burnt. They're getting burnt.
Interesting. Well, you know what? That's exactly what happened to Deion Butler when he was here.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how he got burnt all the time.
Yeah, Samuel was a good cornerback, you know. He got burnt, but he took a lot of gambles, but he's better than what we got here.
Right.
You know. And like I said, I don't think talent-wise for picking draft picks, you know, building through the draft what they used to do, but getting the old players for the pass rush and everything, I think you need to change that.
Interesting.
Because our defense is 32 on Sunday.
Right.
It might be 30 now, you know, because of the game.
Yeah, sure.
But you can't win. Brady can't do it all. And the last two playoff appearances should show that. Brady can't do it all.
No, he can't. He needs some help, and that's why we were sort of talking about the whole defensive thing earlier in the show today, and it'd be nice if we could get, you know, a couple of extra stops thrown in to go along with the dynamic offense you have. And I think that, you know, while they're still working toward that, you know, I think we're pretty close to knowing what we really have with this team for the remainder of the year. We're at now week six. This is week six, and I did say that I thought it would take at least 6 weeks before you figured out what we would have, and I think we'll know a little bit more at the end of this game on Sunday what the Patriots have and whether or not it's good enough for the long haul. This is a big swing week. I mean, how much better is 5-1 than 4-2 right now?
A whole lot better. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever seen a Belichick defense when we didn't have all the stars on the defense, but we did. We had Bruschi, McGinnis, Vrabel, Ty Law, Tyrone Poole.
Yeah.
And what you call missed tackles as much as they miss it now. I mean, just grasping that ass instead of putting the shoulder pads into them.
Well, you know what? That was one of the chief complaints I remember having with Ty Law in particular when he was here, that there was not a whole lot of wrapping up. And then Rodney Harrison and Richard Seymour changed that. And then Teddy Bruschi kind of came along with that. And I think you saw more of an effort to get guys on the ground rather than make the big hit. But I also think that rules of the game have sort of dictated how guys have to do that, and they're not doing a good enough job wrapping up. It's a pretty good observation by you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Eldridge. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate your hanging on during Brad Shan's visit. All right, let's sneak another break in here, and then let's remind you again. webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I would be very interested in finding out how you feel about our old offensive versus defensive theory and whether or not you feel like the Patriots are indeed on the right track, but being so far really under the salary cap like they are now, any thoughts as to why they're not looking at the defensive side of the ball or spending money there? Is it because they have made the fundamental decision that offense is going to actually win championships? How did that work for them in 2007? It didn't. That's why we're bringing it up. That's why I want you to help me out here. Help me answer that question. Let's figure it out. We'll get to some emails, some Facebook posts, phone calls coming up inside the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
All right, inside the playbook, let's get back to the phones. Bill is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Bill, you're in the playbook.
How you doing, John?
I'm good, Bill. How's it going today?
Pretty good. Long-time Patriot fan, been listening to your show for a little while.
Thank you.
Patriot fans, I think they're a little spoiled. I just want to tell them that, you know, I've lived through the bad, so I'm just enjoying the good. With our defense, I think that they haven't had time to gel yet. I'm not ready to judge them until at least week 9, week 10.
Right.
And I think everything's going to come into come into play a little bit better, you know, around that time, and they'll be playing a lot better than they are now.
Sure.
Every week we seem to see them take a little step closer to being a better defense, especially than they were last year.
Right.
You also, I wanted to say...
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, also wanted to ask the question.
Yep.
Do you notice, or is it just me, that Brady hasn't been playing well the last couple of games? I mean, he's overshooting a couple of receivers since he's been throwing them picks, trying to get the ball up a little higher, so it's out of the reach of the defenders. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great point that you just made, and I wanted to bring that up, and I'm glad you did, because last week in particular, when he had Hernandez back in the lineup, you noticed when he missed him, he did miss him over the top. Part of that is because you've had opposing linemen, and this is what they tell you. If you can't get to the quarterback, you got to jump. And Brady's arm slot had come down to the point where they were able to knock some passes down. That's what killed him against Buffalo. He got tipped against Buffalo, and that's how Buffalo was able to get the picks, because they tipped the ball. And so Brady, bringing the arm slot up, he's going up over the top a little bit more, and so now he's just got to refine that a little bit. This is what you have to work on in practice. But that's a great observation by you.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say that, you know, that's probably why he's a little upset, is because he's not hitting on all cylinders like he normally does, and it could be a little frustration, especially since he strives for perfection like he does.
I actually agree with that. I think you're right, and I think that's part of the reason, and we had some people hammering on him a little bit yesterday saying, well, how come he left the game and he didn't stick around for post-game handshakes, or, you know, how come he was short in his post-game interview and blah, 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 and I said, well, we're really nitpicking here, but at the same time, I think it's because he's upset with himself, and he holds himself to such an incredibly high standard that he knows he's got a lot of work to do, and he takes it more seriously than people realize.
I don't read into that too much. I mean, we're winning. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is winning. And I don't care if we win on defense. I don't care if we win on offense. I just want to see that W.
You know what? That's all those guys down the locker room. That's all they care about, Bill. That's all they want to do, is just win too. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, 10-9 or if it's 38-37. It doesn't matter. It goes up as a W.
Yep.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, you got it. Enjoy the day. You bet. Sounds like he had a forklift or something ready to back up on.
Like a parking garage or something.
That's what it sounded like. Sounded like he was in a warehouse, didn't it? Had to be a forklift movie.
Yeah, either that or some sort of garage or something.
It's great.
I don't know.
How about this, though? He's taking time out of his day. He's got, you know, he wants to call.
Hear from John Rook, man.
You got to love
this.
He
doesn't.
You got to love this. And some dedicated fans out there. I'm very appreciative. Very appreciative. I love talking to you guys. 508-298-0398 is how you get to the phone. Or if you can't get to the phone, webradio@patriots.com. Or if you don't want to send an email, pop me up on Facebook. It's that simple. We had a nice spirited little mini debate on the Facebook page going today about Belichick and the Hall of Fame and all that stuff because of Jim Donaldson's comments in the opening hour. Chad sends this on Facebook. He says, who's going to have a better game, Witten or Gronkowski? I know who I want to have the better game, but considering our defense and the unfamiliarity of the Cowboys, who will be the better tight end? Well, really depends on team's offensive game plan. I am scared of Jason Witten. I do think the Patriots defensively need to consider him as the guy you got to stop, much like they did Dustin Keller this last week. As far as Gronk, you know he's going to be in the Patriots game plan. But then again, if he's choice A, can B and C still be good enough to beat the Cowboys? We have some Tom Brady from earlier talking about how fast that Cowboy defense is and what kind of problems that is going to present to the Patriots in trying to decide how to game plan for Dallas, knowing that Rob Ryan, a former coach, of course, of the Patriots, is really figuring into the game planning. Here's Tom.
Hello?
I know it's different personnel, but what kind of similarities are you seeing between Rob Ryan's defenses in Oakland, Cleveland, and now with Dallas?
Well, he's a great coach. He gets those guys playing hard. I think they're very talented. They got a bunch of good skill type players over there. Terrence Newman, I played against him a bunch of times. He's a phenomenal player. Michael Jenkins on the other side is great. DeMarcus Ware, you know, he can get after the quarterback. So it's a they really get pressure on the quarterback from everybody. They get pressure in a three-man rush. They get pressure in a four-man rush. When they blitz, they get pressure. So got to make sure we really stand up to them. But it's a very good defense.
Bill said one of the things that stands out the most is that this is the fastest defensive team that you guys have seen all year.
Yeah, they can really run sideline to sideline. They track a lot of plays down from behind. Everything's very well coordinated. You know, they got a bunch of different things that they do. It's certainly not easy to prepare for. They got a bunch of different blitz looks, a bunch of different defensive packages. It's kind of a game plan defense, so you're never really sure what you're going to get until you're out there. So you got to prepare for everything.
How much carryover is there between what you saw in the Jets and Rex versus the potential season that Rob throws out for the Cowboys?
No, they're very different teams. I think they have different styles, so I'm not sure. You like to go with one, ideally. And if they take that away, then you try to get into something else. But you can't go up there with six different plays in mind. You only got 20 seconds. So to figure out what you want to do and figure out what they're trying to do and then communicate to your guys, you really like to try to have one.
A lot of times it's, how much would you say you change your play at the line? How much did you do last week?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's hard to prepare for everything that they're going to do in the huddle. You call your play, and then, if you got a great look, great. If you got a good look, you run it. If you got a decent look, sometimes you run it also. If you got a terrible look, you change it. A look where you just know the play won't be successful. There's guys that are unblocked, or you're running right into the teeth of the blitz. But for the most part, we call and run it.
Hey, Tom, how much work does that take in practice just to be able to give a guy a signal or even just communicate all the way down the line just so everyone knows to change it? It has to happen in like 5 seconds or so.
It's got to happen quick. It really does. A lot of times 2 seconds left, I'll make a call and we snap the ball. So you make a call and boom, the ball snaps. So guys are moving on the fly, and sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't, but for the most part, we've had a bunch of guys who have been here together, on the offensive line especially. So they're able to hear what we're trying to do. And then the receivers, they hear a call, they're able to adjust as well.
Hey, Tom, it's one thing about a defense being the fastest you've played, but from what you see on film, what is their quickness and their reaction time to the play? Because that is actually different than just being fast.
Yeah, they move very well. I think looks like all those guys can understand the concepts of the offense and pattern recognition. Their inside linebackers are great at that. Sean Lee and Brady James and even Keith Brooking when he's in there. I mean, they make a lot of plays on the ball and plays that you wouldn't see a lot of linebackers make. So they really handle the inside part of the coverage. Two very good safeties that are both interceptors. I'd say this defense really thrives off interceptions. They had a ton of them last year. So they can all intercept the ball. You make a bad throw, they're going to make you pay.
Tommy, what areas have you seen improvement from Jarvis Greenhouse?
He's been pretty consistent since he's been here. He's, since the day he walked in, he's been very dependable. He's very smart. He's tough. He runs with a great pad level. He always falls forward. He's always makes yards after contact. I mean, he's a physical runner, and he's got good speed, too. He can get around the edge, make yards out there, and he does a good job catching. Boy, made a big play catching the ball this last game. So he's a very versatile player for us. And he runs. When you hand the ball off to him, you're going to gain yards.
Who the hell is Sean Lee? He just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In the games that I've seen, he's all over the place.
Second-year player, went to Penn State, runs good, very quick. He's not big in stature, almost Zach Thomas-like, but really dissects the passing game, really reads the quarterback very well. He had some picks last year, some pretty impressive plays that he makes. So that return that he had for a touchdown against the Jets was a phenomenal play. He read the quarterback, kind of figured out the route, anticipated the throw, made a great catch and a great run. So he's very good.
Stretch, but some of the plays I've seen him make, me think the plays, he almost seems a little bit like Teddy Bruschi, a little, not entirely, just instinctive.
Yeah, Teddy was very instinctive also, so, yeah, Teddy was one of a kind, so, and that's a pretty good compliment to give a guy, but he definitely makes plays in a pass game. He understands, he's obviously very smart, I mean, you can see that from just watching him play. He communicates a lot, and you know, when the play's called into the defense, you could see he's one of the guys that's always trying to get everything communicated to the rest of the guys, which tells you how the coaches feel about him. And in a defense that I would say is not very easy, you know, there's a lot that they do. So when you put it, all that on a second-year player, tells you what they really think of him.
All right, Tom Brady and his thoughts on facing the Dallas defense coming up this Sunday and some of the personnel issues and some of the personnel talents that they have and what he's looking at as he's looking at the videotape and the film this week of the Cowboys and trying to get ready for them. And you mentioned Lee and some of the others in there and guys that can get to the football, and it certainly provides a little bit more of a challenge when you know that a team, athletically speaking, can make up for some of their misses along the way. Tiff in Wisconsin sends this email. She says, I think we're a DeMarcus Ware away from being a Super Bowl contender. We need a defensive playmaker. Against Indy, the Steelers' defense was pedestrian. As Indy goes down to the field to win the game, Troy Polamalu makes a play, runs a pick back for a touchdown. If not for Troy, the Steelers would have lost that game. He did the same thing last season against the Bengals. I think we need that kind of a guy. We're a DeMarcus Ware, a Woodson, a Polamalu, or an Ed Reed away from doing anything this year. I'm hoping that someone on our defense can step up and make those plays, but I'm not very confident. Maybe the Patriots organization, the Kraft specifically, are content with being or getting the best value team, but fans aren't. We want to be contenders every single season. I don't like being bounced out of the playoffs. I don't like being defeated in the Super Bowl. It hurts. If I had to pick between us being great in the regular season just to be bounced in game one of the playoffs or go 8-8, well, I'd rather go 8-8. Interesting points. I don't know that I'd ever want to go 8-8, but at the same time, I understand where she's going. And she's right. This team, and this is something that I've harped on from day one, and a lot of people else have also realized, this defense, while it's not perfect, it's probably not going to be where we want it to be. In other words, championship caliber before this year is over. It needs to have guys, though, to step up and make plays, develop into playmakers. We began to see a little bit of that this last week, Pete Shepard, because you were able to force the Jets into some three and outs that hadn't been there in the previous 4 weeks.
Well, I mean, I love Tiff, but Tiff, 2007, the Patriots were in position to win that game. Merriweather, ball throws hands. Asante Samuel, ball through his hands, game should have been over. And then you had Jarvis Green on any other play, 99 of 100 would have been considered a sack. And that knucklehead Manning gets that ridiculous Hail Mary off, and Tariq, says, 3 hour fathers and 2 Hail Marys and catches the ball. I mean, you're talking about that the Patriots had people in position to win the game. I hate it when people bring up that game because they forget the Patriots had the lead with, you know, a minute to go, whatever it was, before Hobbs fell down. And they should have put that game away. There were 3 or 4 times in that game that they should have put that game away. So I dismiss that when it's people talk about playoff losses and everything else because, you know, the offense didn't play great that day, but they still were marched right down the field when they had to in the second half, put the team ahead. The Baltimore game was a complete debacle. We all know that. They played like crap, and there's just no getting around it. And last year, in the second half, they got outplayed. But every year is different. But I agree with you. I think this game is going to be really interesting, John. And in the end, I think it's going to be, the bad Tony Romo is going to give it away. I mean, I think the Patriots are more talented. I think they're more talented. Certainly, there's going to be some points in this game. Get ready for it.
Yeah.
It's coming. And I would say that if they play Green Bay or New Orleans, too. It's going to be tough to stop. I mean, Romo is going to stop himself. We all know that. It's coming. A couple of picks in this game, minimum, for the Patriots.
You better hope.
Well, yeah.
If he doesn't, then you're in trouble.
Well, they're not going to be able to stop the offense. Dallas can't stop the Patriots offense either.
That's also true.
With Hernandez and Gronkowski healthy, it's just impossible. You can't do it. And I don't care. I'm scared. who they're going to tag on. You know, he's not going to be better than Revis, and Welker still had a pretty good day last week, and nobody's better than Revis. You can't stop them all, and damn it, Ocho Cinco is going to have a touchdown one of these games. I keep saying it all week, every week until he gets one. But you can't, you just can't stop this offense. Only they can stop it. Deflected interceptions, stuff like that. So, but Dallas is going to put up some points. This will be a very interesting game. But the Patriots will come away in the end, in my opinion.
What's on the show today?
Oh, God. Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star Telegram will join us in the first hour.
Yep.
We have all that. And, you know, just looking ahead to Dallas, breaking it all down. I just think this is going to be a really entertaining game for the fans. I can tell you that. It's not going to be – I mean, yeah, last week was entertaining. But if you like points, get ready for them because I think it's coming. We're almost just such a wild card. It's just you just don't know.
That adds to the intrigue.
Well, you do know. You do know he's going to screw up eventually.
It adds to the intrigue.
So it's going
to
be it'll be interesting. A lot's coming up today. Can't wait.
All right.
And the email machine is yesterday during my show for whatever reason the web radio I couldn't get my emails, but
really?
It's all fixed. Yeah,
it's fixed.
Yeah, it's all fixed.
They're coming in. You've even got a couple here waiting on you.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. This one comes from Michael in Portland, Maine, who says, "Love the show as always. First, let me say I've loved Jim's thoughts." Donaldson earlier, unlike Chris on Facebook, I don't think Jim's ideas on BB getting flack for enshrinement is unwarranted. He very well could get snubbed by many writers. Chris needs to think how everyone else has BB envy, doesn't look at his history as favorably as we do. Spygate does discredit Belichick in many circles. Loved how Jim called the league a fantasy football reincarnate. As you know, I am harping the idea of the league being transformed into flag football. This is also true. Cowboys, I think, are primary area of concern, inability to handle crossing routes and in and out routes by top flight tight ends like Witten and Burris and Keller, how they demonstrated how soft we are in the front with Spikes and Guyton. I don't respect the Cowboys running game, but watching Guyton and Spikes getting ridden into the end zone like a pair of ponies makes me nervous. Plus, our outside linebacker defensive ends like Carter and Anderson have problems over-penetrating during running plays. They seem to have trouble getting to the quarterback. Now, that's a great point. They do over-penetrate. You can see them go around, but when it comes to collapsing the pocket, the Patriots have real problems, which is why they went out and got a guy like Haynesworth to begin with to help collapse the pocket so the guys on the end could get to the quarterback, and it hasn't happened yet. That, to me, is one of the basic fundamental flaws that the Patriots defense has right now. Michael in Portland also says, I'm a little shy to call, but I'm working up the nerve to call in as I love the show, would love to chat like we were having a few at the pub. Well, come on, brother.
Come on, baby.
I'm ready to pop the top. Let's go.
Let's do it. It's like the Red Sox. I like beer. Frauds.
How great was that?
I'll tell you, I would love to have John Henry and Larry Lucchino sitting in front of me right now.
Oh, my God.
And Tom
Moore. They let that go on, Pete?
They are.
They are so culpable.
To me, it's cowardly. It's cowardly. It's beyond mean and nasty what they've done to Francona, leaking all this crap out that is just.
I know.
I'm really, you know, God forbid the day comes, you know, when Bill and Tom are no longer with this franchise. I promise you, no matter what the circumstance is,
if there were
the Crafts are not going to act that
right.
way. There, what's going on Yawkey Way?
If there were problems,
it is a disgrace.
If there were problems here, they will be buried.
Absolutely, especially after Terry has stuck his neck out time and time again for every what he's done.
Totally,
it is embarrassing as someone who has been around the Red Sox. Worked on the flagship station for years, had a tremendous amount of respect for that whole brass over there. It's embarrassing. Not the collapse and all that stuff, but you know, I can deal with it, but the way that they have handled themselves and the treating of Terry Francona, I think is one of the biggest cowardly disgraces I have ever seen in this town. It's ridiculous.
All right, couple of final comments here. Brian says, John, here's my take on this whole offense-defense view. Truthfully, you can't have one without the other. You need your offense to score you the points, and you need the defense to keep the other team from scoring points, obviously. We've been fortunate enough for our defense to come through in a few plays when it's mattered most. I feel they are gradually coming along. However, I feel the coaches and probably the rest of the teams going to let the offense take them as far as they can possibly go because they're clicking on almost all cylinders compared to the defense. I don't know what the future holds for our defense as far as getting more help this season or next, but I fear our offense is set. Clearly the issue needs to be tuned up overall is the defense. Remember the old saying, defense wins championships.
Yeah, baloney.
Well, you know, maybe, Brian, but the problem here is that the Patriots feel like offense is going to not only win championships, it also continues to make you competitive. When do you turn the page? When do you decide you don't want to be just competitive? When do you decide you want to win?
I go back to the New Orleans defense, John, when they won a few years ago. And that was like, they were like 19th or 20th, or, nothing overly. They were like what the Patriots were, points allowed around 21, whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's really started it. Look, I keep saying it. Forget Ravens of 2000, Bears. I mean, those days are done right now. Done.
I'm going to leave with Ken in Canton, who sends this one. He says, I'm forced to respond to some of the revisionist history on Richard Seymour. How actually good is he playing? How would those fans want to bring Seymour back, would they feel, if he were playing for us and the D gave up 230 yards on the ground? Well, that's what the Pats did against a team that had the highest paid DL in the league. Sure. They ran for 230 against Oakland, and Seymour was a part of it. Seymour is playing on the 30th best D in the league and one of the worst against the rush. He wanted, only by overpaying, was it even a possibility to keep him past 09. He wanted to be traded, in other words. We traded a season of Richard Seymour for a decade of Nate Solder. Well, we didn't know at the time we were going to get Nate Solder, but I understand what you're saying. If we had signed Seymour, think of the other player who we couldn't have signed. Yeah, that's revisionist history as well. As far as Asante Samuel, Samuel is one of the best ball hawks in the league. However, for every pass he picks, he gives us an equal number of big plays. For the last 2 years, he's been statistically the worst tackler in the league. While being a solid zone corner, Samuel sucks at man coverage. Ask any Eagle fan if they think Samuel was worth the massive contract he got. I'm tired of hearing all the Yahoos' only message is pay them all.
What a bunch of hypocrites, honest to God.
I know. Well, that's what fans do.
I mean, I wish we could, again, I always say we should replay the early shows here about Asante Samuel, the first 2 years he was here when people wanted to run him out of town. And also Richard Seymour the last couple of years. I can't tell you how many times doing the postgame show on the radio, people would just rip him to shreds. And I kept saying, well, okay, he's getting double teamed. Just because they go sack happy. Just because he's not getting sacks doesn't mean he's not making an impact. He's getting double teamed. But people, game after game after game, wanted Seymour out of here. He's lost it. He can't do it. And then when he leaves, of course, everybody wants it back.
Omar in Atlanta, keeping Bill Belichick out of the Hall of Fame on the first ballot due to Spygate may be legitimate, but what if he wins another Super Bowl or two? That just may be too many reasons to vote him in on the first ballot, irregardless. Plus, with people's short attention span these days, by then Spygate may be somewhat out of sight, out of mind, not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. All right, we'll leave Omar with the final word. Pete's coming up next in the playbook tomorrow. More on the Cowboys, obviously. That's got to happen. You know that'll happen. And Russell S. Baxter, pro football guru. He'll be with us. Hope you will be too. 2 to 4 tomorrow Eastern time. Same Pat's time and same Pat's channel.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.